From spooky legends past, down through generations, to haunted locations that hold a ghostly past. Come one, come all, come finders and seekers. Hear the creepy side of Nipa.
Welcome to the creepy side of Nipa. I am Dan Kozlowski. Hard to believe it's already October and we just passed our 1 year mark here at the creepy side of Nipa. I'd just like to thank everyone for listening to the podcast over the past year. Before we get into tonight's episode, I'd like to announce two new features the creepy side of Nipa has available. The first is the creepy side of Nipa sightings map. This is an interactive map available at WNAP.com. When you visit the map, you will see a bunch of locations that we talked about in past episodes. You will see every point of interest location, and also it will link you back to the episode where we spoke about that location. This way it would give you some of the backstory, and also give you a chance to explore the creepy side of Nipa for yourself. The other feature we have available starting today is the Creepy Side of Nipa Halloween Quiz. This is a great opportunity to test your knowledge on the Creepy Side of Nipa podcast and also Halloween. And let's not forget, win some really cool prizes along the way. Both of these features are available to you at WNEP.com. We'll also post a link on our Facebook page, WNEP's Creepy Side of Nipa. Okay, everyone, now it is time to get into the first episode of the Halloween season. Joining us tonight on the Creepy Side of Nipa is John Walsh, Vice President of the Schuylkill County Historical Society. John is joining us tonight on the show to talk a little bit about the upcoming Ghost Walk in Pottsville and also some creepy history about Pottsville and Schuylkill County. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much.
So, John, share some of the creepier stops along your ghost tour.
Yeah, it's interesting. Believe it or not, the walks actually started from education programs years ago, where what we would do is we set up programs to go out to the schools and give some of the stories behind the entire county. Mm-hmm. And the public really got into it, and they started, you know, questioning if we were going to do any kind of walks. So maybe about 3 years ago, we started putting together a few, and our first concern was just having enough stories. But lo and behold, once we started to dive into the researching aspect and even, you know, people that have their own stories within the city, they came to us and, my gosh, we have tons of them.
Yeah, more than you're expecting, huh?
Big time. Big time.
I know personally, I'm not too familiar with the Schuylkill County, Pottsville area, but it does sound like you guys have some interesting stories down there.
Well, we're right in the heart of the coal region, you know, and a lot of that with it, even with the walks that we do talk about some of the superstitions and the legends and lore that go along with the mining aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because when people came over from Ireland and Wales and England, they brought with them some of their stories too. And, you know, there's been claims within the mines affiliated with those stories. And there's one part where we actually stop at the old PRINC, where it's Reading Anthracite now, and we tell about some of those claims. And some of them are fantastic. It's interesting because a lot of people in the area don't even realize that what they've heard their whole life comes from mining narratives.
Sure. They don't know the history.
No, they don't. And it's just little things like all bad things happen in threes. You know, that's a mining idea. But one of my favorites by far is it comes from England, and it's the Tommyknockers. And the cool thing with the Tommyknockers is right away you think of Stephen King. Mm-hmm. You know, but with this, it's not. It's actually said to be little gnome-like miners that are in the mines. And the key is with the Tommyknockers, whether you're going to upset them or you're going to get on their good side. Now, the nice thing is with the knockers, they love to knock on the side of a mine. And if you're on their good side, they're showing a spot where there's going to be a nice vein of coal that you'll be able to mine into and make lots of money. But if you get on their bad side and they start knocking, you know, realistically, there could be a cave-in because of it. But the key is when you're within the cave, whatever you don't want to do, do not whistle, because all that does is upset them. And I thought, man, that's pretty neat. You know, people always enjoy that part of the story when we get to that one.
Right. And it definitely sounds like something you wouldn't want to upset.
No, I would think not. But just the legends and the lore. But it was interesting because once we started diving into the stories within the city, the paranormal aspect really came through. And one of the things with Pottsville is it has a natural stream going right below the city. And, you know, one of a very common paranormal claim is energy can be taken from natural streams. You know, and even one of the things I say early on in the tour is we believe that there could be some kind of possible connection between that and, some of the claims that have happened within the city of Pottsville.
Yeah, I do hear a lot of talk about that, how they get their energy from streams or even some kind of, there's even special rock that they believe they get energy from.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
Just hearing that from some of the guests on the show in the past.
Sure. And I know one guest I spoke to not too long ago, Mark Heis, he and I are very good friends. And
he was actually on our show last Halloween season.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Great guy. I've been part of his association for about 10 years now and fantastic guy. But even within the historical society, people have had experiences that we just can't explain. And the one thing we do emphasize on our tours is, you know, obviously there are experiences by people, but we're by no means, because our headquarters is a former school, we're not saying that school children are in there by any means.
Right.
But we do believe with the artifacts we have in there, it could be attachments to the items. And we have everything from, you know, a dress that was worn by a citizen in Pottsville at Abraham Lincoln's funeral, all the way to pieces of the rope that were used the day the Molly Maguires were hanged.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. So we've had experiences within the building we just cannot explain. And we always use that as part of our tour. Everything from footsteps that are being heard. One person claimed to see a person that was actually walking within the building. Voices, very common. The electricity within the building kind of goes haywire at different points, and it's been checked. There's no rational explanation why.
And that's all in your headquarters there for the Historical Society?
No, we actually, that's our starting point. And one of my favorite stories to begin with every single year is a good old-fashioned curse by the Pottsville Maroons. Of course, the Maroons were the 1925 NFL champions, and the title was taken away from them. But it's said until the Pottsville Maroons regained their title, the citizens of Pottsville put a curse on, then it was the Chicago Cardinals, now it's the Arizona Cardinals. And it's kind of interesting because the Cardinals have never won a Super Bowl. You know, they've been in one, and they were defeated by Pittsburgh, who was a firm advocate for the Pottsville Maroons, but yet a curse has been placed on that team. And it's believed that the curse will stay there, and they won't win a championship until Pottsville receives their NFL championship from 1925.
Wow, and they never won a championship.
No, they haven't won yet. There was, 1947. It's almost a perfect story. No, they did get one in there, but by far they have the most losses in NFL history. But kind of cool because that's a segue right into the old Maroons Bar and Grill that's at the end of town. And there have been many sightings of at least four spirits, they say, within that building. Former owners have had things moved and missing. They've heard things dragging down in the basement, and they actually brought a medium in about maybe a decade ago. And the medium claimed that there were four spirits. Two of them are women from the late 1800s that are dressed in Victorian garb. And they can actually be seen ascending and descending a staircase within there. And the other one, she referred to them as the pranksters. And they're the ones who move things around. So unfortunately, it's closed right now, but we're hoping it opens up very soon.
Yeah. Is it just closed because of the pandemic, or do they close down as a business recently?
They did close down as a business.
Okay.
You know, and that's, unfortunately, you know, that has happened in Pottsville. But the one thing about
I think you have your share of that in just about any town, to be honest.
Absolutely. I mean, it's trying to revitalize itself. And the people that are affiliated with it are doing fantastic.
Good. You know?
Yep. But even within the city, when we start walking through, it's kind of cool because we always point out different businesses that have had experiences or claims within them. One of my favorites is, it's called Bake Shop Number 6. It's on the main drag on Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the two people that own it right now, their name is Patricia and Brian. They're wonderful people, very, very welcoming people. But they started having experiences within there right away. And it's interesting because the building's very old. It was built in 1880, and it's been used for many things over the years. But by far the most famous occurrence within the building, it was Pollock's first for many years. And it's an interesting tidbit because Pollock became very good friends with Muhammad Ali, and he actually sold him the ground for his training area up on Sculpt's Hill. But when Brian and Patricia went in, they started noticing very odd occurrences right away. You know, things like they would hear footsteps upstairs, and they would run up, and of course no one would be there. You know, they also noticed that they had a light at the top of the steps that led down to the basement. And anytime their children were around the light seemed to illuminate light brighter. But yet when they would walk away, it would kind of dim down a little bit. You know, in addition to that, Brian has been in there very, very early in the morning. And one time he was putting pans behind him. He was kind of just placing them as he was taking them out of the oven. and just haphazardly throwing them behind him. But yet when he turned around a couple minutes later, they were all stacked perfectly neat, you know, in a row. And wow. By far, yeah, and it can't explain. I know. He also had a claim that of a handprint appeared on one of his tables, you know, and there was no one in the place except for him. And it was just like, you know, when you get that moist handprint,
yeah,
and someone's there, and he just looked down, and there it was, and it just dissipated. But the best one that I've heard there was there was a patron that was driving by on a Sunday night. And as she drove by, she kind of looked over at the bake shop, and they have these beautiful windows, and they have a wonderful setup with, you know, a table all decorated. Mm-hmm. And she noticed Patricia in the window, just, you know, decorating things for, I guess, the next day to get ready, you know, putting a tablecloth on. Unfortunately, the woman was in a rush, so she couldn't stop, and she continued on. But within a day or two, she stopped in the bake shop just to say hello and apologize that she couldn't stop and say hello that night. And Patricia kind of looked at her, you know, odd, and she wasn't there. So the interesting thing is there has been an entity seen within Big Shop 6. And, you know, it's a woman that wears Victorian garb as well.
Very interesting. They are actually my favorite stories when you actually see an apparition there in the building or on the property.
Yeah. And that, I like telling that story because the one thing with Big Shop 6, if you've ever been in it, it's the most welcoming, warm location in Pottsville. I mean, it's just a wonderful place. The people are wonderful. And they've never been scared. Like, mm-hmm. if they know someone's in there with them. There's no doubt about that.
Right. It isn't like an evil presence. It's just...
No.
They're just sharing their building with somebody.
Right. But in addition to that, we start going up Montotongo as well. And, you know, even Yingling Brewery. A couple of years ago, they invited me in to give a tour within there. And they've had numerous claims, especially down in the brewery underneath where the caves are. Because in the 1830s, miners were hired to go in there and actually dig out caves. It took about 10 years. And they used it to store their barrels of beer and let them ferment. And, you know, everything was nice and cold down there.
Right.
They actually have a naturally occurring stream within there, too. So you have a connection with the energy. And some of the claims in there are unbelievable. You know, some people have claimed to see former workers walking around in the caves. Shadow people are said to be within there. There was even one claim where a family went in for a tour and they had a photograph taken towards the mouth of the caves, you know, going towards the main door. And when they had the photo developed, they looked and there was someone kind of standing behind and they didn't remember that person being there. So they kind of hung on to the picture and they came back to Pottsville a few years later and they showed it to a person in the shop. And when they saw it, they were floored, just staggered back because the individual looked like Dick Yingling Sr., Dick Yingling's dad.
Oh, wow.
And the interesting thing is he died in 1999, but the photograph was taken in 2003. So,
yeah,
you know, I never heard that story until I had an opportunity to go into Yingling in the caves, and it's something else, really neat.
It sounds like it would be a creepy place downstairs in the caves.
It is. No doubt. They bricked it up during Prohibition, you know, and they opened it up for the public for the tours and everything now. But, yeah, they have some wonderful stories. And even the mansion up above is said to have a lot of activity within it.
That's one good thing about this area. There's a lot of history and a lot of older buildings, which seems to sort of attract the hauntings or the ghost sightings and stuff like that.
Well, and you know what? Even Yingling, I mean, I'll be honest, they have a wonderful reputation. They treat people extremely well, and they always have. They're wonderful for the city of Pottsville. And it just seems like people don't want to leave, you know, whether they're alive or dead.
You're right.
Kind of hanging on. But, yeah, they're very nice, very welcoming.
It just seems like they enjoyed it, like you said, and just don't want to leave.
Yeah, they're content, you know, and it's a wonderful beer. Why not hang around?
I can't argue with that.
But, we go throughout the city. One of my one stop that we actually started last year was the Charles Baber Cemetery. We had an opportunity to go in on a trolley tour, and the people who take care of it granted us permission to go in and tell some of the stories. And, you know, the Baber Cemetery is something else. It's beautiful. It's very big. At one time, it actually had two. It was almost like a huge lake at the base that people would go. And even though it was a cemetery, they would bring their families, you know, in the late 1800s. And they would enjoy a day fishing, or if it was cold, they would go out ice skating and everything. But there are claims, several, you know, odd claims within the cemetery. One was actually documented in the newspaper in 1865. Of a specter that was seen walking along the roads. And two men who were intrigued, you know, they wanted to check it out. They thought they were going to put it to the test.
Mm-hmm.
So the two men went into Charles Baber that night, and they each had a oil lantern. And as they walked in, they kind of started to separate a little bit. And it said that all of a sudden they looked down the road, and sure enough, the specter started to appear and come their direction. And it got within 15 feet of them. And when it got within 15 feet, it just stopped and kind of looked up. And just when it did, both lanterns went out at the same time, and the guys just ran out of the cemetery.
that would cause enough for me to run out, let me tell you.
I don't blame them either. No. But, there's still claims. Every now and then people have claimed to see things within the cemetery, and we take people in, and it's a good time telling the stories within there.
Yeah, especially since you have that background of the actual news publishing that story back in the 1800s. You have that little bit of story to fall back on.
Sure, absolutely. And that's one thing we try to do with most of our stories that just aren't oral tradition. We try to back it up with newspaper claims, and even detail-wise. You know, we want to try to give as detailed stories as possible to make the experience more fun for everyone. And the research is, I always joke around, I say, I study harder for these tours than I did all through college. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, the amount of information. And we try to memorize everything while we're doing the tours, you know, just to make the stories more colorful, you know, so that the people could enjoy them.
Now, are you the tour guide, or do you have other tour guides also?
I did it all the first year. We actually have, luckily for me, three other tour guides this year. We have a gentleman named Jim, Steve, and our president, Jay. And Jay's going to be within Charles Baber. And then Jay and Steve are going to be kind of communicating with each other and going between. We have two other tours, the Gallows Tour, which takes us up to the prison, which I'll tell you about in a sec. That's my favorite spot by far. And the other one is the Guinea Hill and Bunker Hill Tour. And that's where Yingling is, over in that neck of the woods.
So you guys just don't have one tour. You actually have three to offer?
The very first year, we only had one, and we just kept expanding. And it was incredible, the number of stories that we kept hearing. In fact, there were even occurrences where my first year, I would tell a story, and people would wait for me after the tour to tell me their own experiences, you know, within the city of Pottsville. One great one that I love was up on Schuylkill Avenue behind Yingling Brewery. You know, a nice set of houses back there. Mm-hmm. And there were a few reports. You know, there were things published in the 1920s about a house that was haunted. It was called the Dory Brown Mansion. There was also a poltergeist activity up there, Thomas Moore, who was a miner. But this one in particular blew me away. Very nice woman came up to me at the end of the tour. And we started talking a little bit, and she said how much she enjoyed it, and I thanked her. And she said, I have to tell you this story about my grandmother. I said, awesome. You know, I love stories. Please tell me.
I do too. That's why I started the whole podcast.
Absolutely. Wonderful podcast, by the way. I enjoy listening to
Thank you.
You're welcome. But, I stood there and I started speaking with her. And she told me about how her grandmother lived in a home up on Schuylkill Avenue. And she started having experiences feeling like she wasn't alone. So she would be sitting in her living room, and she would kind of, you know, get the heebie-jeebies, like the hairs would start to stand up, and she would look behind her and she wouldn't see anything. But lo and behold, one night she was there and she started to have these experiences. And she kind of turned and looked out into the hallway, and sure enough, she saw a figure standing there that was dressed in Civil War attire. So she sees this and she freezes for a second, and the figure suddenly turns and starts walking down the hallway. Now, I'll be honest with you, this woman has more guts than I do, because she stood up, went out, and actually looked into the hallway, and sure enough, she sees the Civil War soldier looking back at her at the base of the steps. Just then, he starts to ascend. So she waits a minute or two. She goes up the steps to follow suit. When she gets up there, a long hallway, she sees the Civil War soldier at the base of the attic steps, and he starts to go right through the door and up, and she follows. She said she got up to the attic, and when she got up there, she saw him standing, and he just walked through the wall. It was the most bizarre thing. But when she looked down, there was a little closet. I call it a cubbyhole, you know, that a lot of them have around here. So she went over to the cubbyhole, and she opened it up. And she said it was almost like an air conditioner hit her when she opened it. But when she looked off to the side in the cubbyhole, there was a little box. And when she opened up the box, it was a bandage that had dried blood on it and a name of a Civil War soldier that used to live in the property.
Oh, wow.
Oh, absolutely.
But she definitely has more courage than me.
It's like you said. Goosebumps. When she told me that story, I looked at her. I said, thank you. That is a story I must use, because it was phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
That is a great story.
Yeah. But the cool thing is with that, we always start off the story by telling about Nicholas Biddle, who he was the first individual in the U.S. Civil War to actually have bloodshed. He was assaulted. A brick was thrown at him down in Baltimore. and he was hit in the head by it. And the wound was so bad, it actually exposed his skull. But he was one of the first offenders. So he was on his way to Washington, D.C. to make sure that the Confederates weren't going to come in and ransack the Capitol. And when he got down there, Lincoln actually was greeting on the soldiers. He got to Nick Biddle, and when he saw the wound, he said, "Oh, you must go to the hospital. This is terrible." And Biddle refused. He wouldn't leave his regiment, and he became very heroic. You know, he was a hero within the city of Pottsville when he came back.
Very interesting. That's a good segue for you to get right into another story you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. And Nick Biddle, I mean, he was instrumental. There's stops, the Underground Railroad within the city is there, and Nick Biddle was said to participate within that, and very interesting things that a lot of people within the area don't realize happened within the city.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not too familiar with the Schuylkill County area, but once I came across your ghost walk, actually, I did a little bit of investigating. A lot of stories are out there.
Oh, man, it's a wild area. I'll say that. But there are a lot of stories. In fact, when I first started this, like I said, it was an education program, and it was kind of cool because once we started the actual haunted history tours, we could get away from the G and PG, and we could go a little bit more PG-13 mm-hmm. with the stories.
Right.
But, you know, it's amazing. Everything, Muhammad Ali's campground that just reopened not too long ago, Mike Madden, invested in it and opened it up for the area. That said to have many experiences. And the one person in particular that said to still roam within the campground is Drew Boondini Brown, his trainer. And Boondini is best known because he actually coined the moniker "float like a butterfly, sting like a bee," and they were very close, Muhammad Ali and Boondini, and it said that Boondini could still be seen walking throughout the campground.
And it might be, like you mentioned earlier, a place that he just enjoyed so much he didn't want to leave.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, within the gym, people have made claims that you could still hear Boondini kind of cheering on Muhammad Ali with the training. And there was even a claim when it was a bed and breakfast, there was a husband and a wife that were staying in one of the small cottages that are there. And it was mid-June, early July, and they kind of woke up one night because it was freezing. And his wife woke up first, and she kind of looked at the base of the bed, and she saw a silhouette of a man standing there. Now, she was horrified. So obviously, she started elbowing her husband to get up, see who this guy is. And he, sure enough, opened his eyes, and he looked, and he saw the same thing. And when they went to turn the light on, the silhouette was gone, just disappeared right in front of them. And the claims are Boondini is still walking around.
Very interesting. And in fact, just to have a little bit of a backstory to know, or at least to suspect who it is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for those people that have never been to the campground, it's incredible. They did a wonderful job. It's very welcoming. So definitely check it out. You know, if you love boxing, if you love history, or if you love ghost stories, you win on every aspect there. Can't go
wrong. It's a perfect place.
There you go. Another big one within our area, a lot of people don't know about, is Penn State Schuylkill. Believe it or not, has had tons of experiences there. And the reason is the area was originally the Schuylkill County Insane Asylum, an almshouse. And there have been numerous stories, that came out of there. People and students are still having experiences within on campus. But the most famous ones by far, when the Insane Asylum was still there, it was called the 1913 building. There was a nurse that was actually within the building. And unfortunately, she made the choice to hang herself within the building itself. But it said that she could still be seen, walking among the grounds. Another one is the monks have been seen. There's a nursing home. And some people have claimed you could see these dark shadow figures going throughout the nursing home. And even nurses that have worked there have walked by and they kind of like glanced in a room and they claim to see a shadow figure standing there. And some nurses have even said when the shadow figure is seen, it's almost like a harbinger of death. The person dies within a few days. Sadly, of course. And electricity-wise, they're always having problems with their phones and lights and all kinds of stuff. And, it's interesting because I did a presentation in Schuylkill Haven maybe 2 years ago, and a woman who worked there actually stopped me right in the middle of the presentation, and she said flat out, "That place is haunted." I've had my own experiences.
So you have more stories to back that up, and especially since that lady came forward to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was Penn State Schuylkill, you were saying?
Yes. Yeah, they've had a lot of experience. In fact, three of the buildings that are still on campus were there during the time of the Insane Asylum and the almshouse period. They were actually given to Schuylkill County and Penn State in particular for $1. And there were six buildings at the time, but unfortunately three of them were pretty dilapidated, so they knocked three down. But the three they kept up are still used today. And one is the admissions building, one is the classroom. and I believe one is a storage shed.
So they were actually part of the asylum?
Yes. Yeah, they were part of it.
That sort of gives a creepy factor right there.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I've even heard stories. A person at work there told me that he was working a night shift cleaning the one time, and he kind of looked up, and at the end of the hall, he said he saw a little girl kind of peeping around the corner. And, it, you know, right away he thought to himself, my God, someone's in the building, and he ran down, and there was no one there. So they're having some odd experiences on Penn State's Google.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it, and especially since it was, like you said, an asylum. That just gives it a little bit of the creepy factor right there.
Yeah, some unfortunate stories. You know, when it was an asylum, unfortunately, people weren't treated the best for a time period where the state actually came in for a while. And very sad stories, but definitely give some credibility to the claims that have been made by people as well.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're mentioning that the ghost walk is actually three different walks. All the stories that you mentioned so far, is that sort of like the main walk or the first walk?
Well, the way we did it, we have enough stories now throughout the city that we almost sectioned it off.
Okay.
So, for example, the one tour that we're doing, the Guinea Hill and Bunker Hill tour, it starts at the Water Authority, and you go past the Necco Allen, and the main attraction of that tour will be Yingling. You know, we'll talk about Yingling and the experiences, and even up above in Schuylkill Avenue, because we tell the story of the Thomas More poltergeist, who said that he actually brought a ghost home from the mines, and they had an experience with it where the poltergeist was so active, his wife, Mrs. Moore, became so upset. She took a gun in one night to the room that was next to her and was ready to shoot whatever was there. And when she came back, she laid down and put the gun on her nightstand. And within 15 minutes, she felt very cold, and she opened her eyes and looked. And sure enough, she saw a specter standing at the base of her bed. And just then the gun went off and struck her in the ribs. And the sad thing is, she died several hours later. You know, she told her husband the story. She died in the hospital, and she left behind 7 or 8 children from it. But that's the main part there. We talk about Old City Hall, where there's supposed to be spirits dwelling within there. We talk about the Great Pottsville Fire, and even John O'Hara, the famed author. We have some stories more along the lines of mysteries than paranormal. John O'Hara, as far as we know, is not in any of the buildings right now in Pottsville, but we know some of his articles are missing.
And even the mysteries sort of just fall right into this category.
It works out well. It works out well. But that's one tour. Our second tour is the Gallows Tour. And that one actually starts at the Historical Society. We walk down the main part of Center Street towards Market Street. And on that, we tell tales of the Molly Maguires and, you know, spirits that are said to roam within the Majestic Theater. You know, we have Bake Shop 6 that I told you about before.
Mm-hmm.
One story we're going to have this year is Peter Spiralis, and it's more along the lines of a murder story where he murdered a woman right on Market Street. He stabbed her to death, and he actually went to the chair in Rockview not long after. But then we come up Second Street, and the main part of that tour by far is the prison. And I'll tell you what, Dan, if there's one place in Schuylkill County that's haunted, it's the Schuylkill County Prison. There's no doubt about that. I've heard so many claims by people that have been in there, not just inmates, but also
right.
People that work there. But, you know, within the prison itself, it's been there since 1851. And
wow.
there's been 17 executions within the prison from hangings. And, of course, the most famous are the Molly Maguires. There were 9 Mollies that were said to be hanged there. And the experiences and even the stories that come out of that location are just eye-opening, to say the least.
Especially a building that old must have some interesting stories for sure.
It's on the historical list. It has the markers. So the outside of the building and the main part of the building has to be left alone. Now, the prison itself is brand new, you know, the prison, because it's still an active prison. But the experiences that people have had in there, even today, just blow me away. I know even the first execution that took place there was March 24th, 1875. Joseph Brown, his name was. And Brown, when he was killed, no one claimed his body. You know, it was a terrible murder that he did, a double homicide of an elderly couple. So no one claimed the body. What did they do? They cut him down and they just buried him right in the courtyard of the prison.
Well,
there's no documentation at all that he was ever exhumed. So there's been some interesting stories there. And it's said that ghosts walk within the grounds.
Well, that would be good reason right there for one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even the Mollies, those stories that come out there. They have a dungeon that used to be down, you know, below the prison. And it was said that the Mollies were actually chained down, you know, to their stomach on the floor. and they were left there until their execution. And the story of the executions are unbelievable. But where the dungeon was, you know, there's some guards that say, oh, that's the last place I want to go if I don't have to. It's just, it has that feeling like someone's in there. And I've even heard one story where a person was walking out and kind of looked back and he saw two eyes just staring at him. So some really weird occurrences.
Yeah, definitely not a place you'd want to stick around too much.
No. I maybe that's the macabre side of me. I find it interesting.
I do also, but still, if I turned around and saw some eyes looking at me, I don't know what I would do.
I think I might be with you on that one. I'd get out of there.
So that's mostly the gallows tour you're talking about. So there's one more also?
Yeah. With the gallows tour, we do give some information about the courthouse. You know, within the Schuylkill County Courthouse, a famous entity is said to roam, affectionately known as Patches. And with Patches, he's said to be the spirit of Amalie McGuire that was wrong within the actual trial. And of course, the trials are very controversial. You know, we don't get into that too much on the tours, but it's said that it's one of the Mollies, Thomas Munley, that has been seen walking within the courthouse.
Now, is that tour, the gallows tour, named that sort of because it tends more to murders and jails and executions and stuff like that?
Well, we definitely hit upon the executions because once we get up to the prison, I'll be honest with you, Dan, we could do an entire tour easily at the Schuylkill County Prison because we have everything from murders to escapes to ghost stories, everything within that small area. Where what we try to do is we might focus on one or two executions per year because every one is such an incredible story, you know, behind it and the background of it.
And that would actually be perfect for you because then when the person comes back the following year, you'd have something fresh for them instead of the same stories.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the stories that we tell, I tell it more along the lines of the courthouse, but there was a young man by the name of William Cavalier. And William, in 1925, he's 14 years old, wanted to go to the movies. You know, unfortunately, his grandmother said no, and William did not take that kindly, and he actually took a gun and shot her 7 times. But the crazy thing about this story is he was held right within the Schuylkill County Prison, and he was going to be the youngest person ever executed in the United States. And, of course, there was a huge hoopla. You know, no one wanted to see that happen, and there was a petition that was signed. He ended up going to Eastern State Penitentiary and served time there and ended up dying of tuberculosis in 1940. But, the stories are just crazy.
Yeah, very interesting.
Another stop, the Greystone. On the gallows tour, we stopped. There's actually been several entities that have been said to roam within the Greystone. And the interesting thing is, it was just repurchased. It closed down for a little bit, but they're going to open it back up. And the stories that are in there, a very famous murder happened in New Year's Eve in 1951, where a soldier from Fort Indiantown Gap came up and was murdered. And it said that he still can be seen roaming within the Greystone. Another one is the suicide of the chef. You know, that happened up on the third floor where he actually shot himself not just once, but twice. He tried to shoot himself in the stomach and kill himself, was unsuccessful, and then took the pistol, reloaded it, put it up to his temple and did it again. That time it was successful, but it said the spirit of the chef can be seen walking within the grounds. But the gallows tour, we try to stick within that area just because there's so much. You know, we don't want to take people too far out because if you start hitting them with too many stories, it's kind of like sensory overload.
Yeah.
So we try to go more quality over quantity. But, you know, with our trolley tour that we did last year, we were out for almost 2.5 hours. And I'll be honest, the people are troopers. I mean, they hung it was a long tour. They hung in there. But even by the end, you know, they were hanging on every word because they enjoyed it so much, it seemed.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like there's no shortage of stories, that's for sure.
No. So we do the Gallows Tour, we have the Guinea Hill and Bunker Hill Tour, and then we have the Charles Baber Tour.
And what is the Charles Baber Tour?
That's the actual cemetery. And what'll happen?
Oh, that's the one you were mentioning earlier with the lanterns?
Yeah, and they were kind enough to let us come in and actually do the tour. And we keep it, you know, within the main part of the cemetery while we're doing it. But we also tell some stories outside that happen within the vicinity. For example, the Yuengling Mansion, not far from there, has had many claims of, you know, they basically say it was like a maid that used to live at the mansion that could still be heard and seen within the mansion roaming around. And she becomes upset if any nails are put in the walls, if an exhibition is going up, because they have all kinds of exhibitions. It's the Council for the Arts right now. And she's been said to slam doors and slam windows and everything within there.
It seems like she doesn't want any change to the house then.
None at all. None at all. It's also said the barn in the back has orbs that are seen very, very often within there. So pretty cool stories coming out.
Like I said earlier, it definitely seems like there's no shortage of stories in the Schuylkill County area. To be surprised, I am kind of surprised at all the stories that have to do with the creepier side of the town.
You know, and it blew me away because when we first came up with the idea for these tours and I was doing research, I was actually concerned that we would have enough. And even it seemed like the stories that we had, they were so spread out. But once we actually started diving more into the research, and even people would come to us with stories all the time and they'd say, oh my gosh, you got to hear this story. And I'd hear it and my eyes would just pop out. And then we would start to backtrack and do the research, and lo and behold, we made a connection with it. And next thing you know, right now we're probably in the realm of about 70 stories that we have within the city.
Well, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of overwhelming at times, you know, but that's why we try to break it down, more quality over quantity, and even for our own sanity, just to remember the details.
Yeah, like I said, we had a couple tours on the show last year. I think we had one in Scranton, and the Wilkes-Barre Historical Society didn't do one last year, but we had the guy who put it together on last year, and it seems like they have one tour. I was kind of surprised when you said this town has three.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we were able to break it apart. And the other thing is the logistics issue. I mean, honestly, the one thing about Pottsville is, you know, and I always joke around on the tour that I'm not the one who planned the city, but you definitely get your steps in. And you're going to be going uphill. You're going to be a little bit winded. But if the stories themselves, you know, we have a great collection of not just the ghost story aspect, but just the macabre. You know, even we have some in reserve just sitting there for UFO sightings that were made by a chief of police in Pottsville in the 1970s. And this is the chief of police that was coming right out and saying, absolutely, I saw something up in the sky. I cannot explain it. He was very adamant about it during that time. And they're the kind of stories we don't even use yet. We have them, but, you know, they're in our surplus for years down the road if we need to.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd put another tour together or something with them. You could in the future.
We probably could. And even if we expand, you know, that we're going to do the whole county, Schuylkill County has some incredible stories. And, you know, it's funny, I didn't even mention the most famous one of all time. It's the Gordon Mountain Ghost. And with that story, it was a murder that took place in 1925, where there was a couple that was walking up on Gordon Mountain, and they saw the feet of a young girl laying under a bush. And when they investigated, told the police, of course, the police came up and investigated. They found that she was partially burned. About 75% of her body was burned, including half of her face. So it was almost like the Phantom of the Opera kind of look. And an investigation started right away. And for 7 years, they had a detective on the case, but it's an unsolved mystery. You know, they still have no idea who killed this young lady.
It's still unsolved to this day?
Still unsolved. But the crazy thing about it is ghost claims happened almost instantly. You know, they were actually bringing mediums in from New York City and Boston to find out about these claims. And people even claim today you could still see the girl, you know, walking within the woods of Gordon Mountain. And one of the most famous ones is if you're in a car and you're going up the mountain, the car begins to slow down and stop. And some people even claim she ran across the road. You would see her. So if you ever get bored on a Saturday night and there's nothing going on, you can just drive up Gordon Mountain and see if you have any experiences. Yeah.
Now, if someone was interested in coming to one of your ghost tours, when are you guys holding them this year?
Well, we're going to have them on October 10th, 17th, 24th, and Halloween, the 31st.
Are they Saturdays?
And yes. Okay. They're going to be Saturday evenings. They're going to start at 6:30. We'll actually have two tours running at the same time. So we'll have, let's say, the Gallows tour running during 6:30 and maybe Charles Baber. But we're going to try to stagger it so that way if people are interested in taking all the tours or one or two, they have the ability to do it. So we might do Gallows and Baber one weekend. The next weekend we might do the Ghost of Guinea Hill and maybe the Gallows.
Okay.
You know, we try to break it up so that way people want to see it. And of course, if the demand is there, we can always add more walks.
Of course. And if someone was interested, how would they get in contact with you or buy tickets?
Sure. Yeah. A couple of ways. Facebook, of course, Schuylkill County Historical Society. We just put up our preview video this morning and it already has about 1,100 views, you know, on it. So it seems like people are paying attention. They're excited a little bit. You could go on Facebook. You could call us. You know, it's not a problem. It's listed right on Google. If you just do that, you can find our number, no problem. Of course, www.schuylkillhistory.org. And you can go on there and it'll give you the times and the dates and everything you need to know.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing some of the stops, at least on the ghost tour.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Okay. You're welcome, Dan.
Thank you for joining us tonight on The Creepy Side of NEPA. As always, if you have a story or an idea for the next episode you would like to share with us, email us. Our email address is ghost@wnep.com, or you could also reach us through our Facebook page, WNEP's Creepy Side of NEPA. I also hope everybody takes a minute to check out our new online map and quiz available at WNEP.com. Until next week, enjoy The Creepy Side of NEPA.
This has been The Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a spooky story that took place in northeastern or central Pennsylvania, send it to ghost@wnep.com for your chance to share it on an upcoming episode. We're dying to hear from you.